It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. Here we go. With Malia Jacobson as your host.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast. I'm your host, sleep and health journalist Malia Jacobson, and I hope that you are having a fantastic August. This month I'll be doing something a little bit different as I am traveling with my family and taking some time this month to prepare for another school year of distance learning. Yay! I will be releasing shorter episodes this month. I'm calling them Ask Malia mini episodes. And these are episodes in which I'll answer questions from listeners and readers, many questions that I've received from readers of my sleep columns, Winks in Parent Map magazine or Counting Sheep in Metro Parent magazine, as well as reader questions to my blog, Ask Malia. I have many, many questions to choose from, and I'm going to pick ones that apply to parents and those people without kids and kind of a mix of ages, and hopefully there will be something for everyone. So here is the first Ask Malia mini episode. Enjoy. So today I'll be answering a question about finding the best bedtime. And this question was written about finding a best bedtime for a child, but I will be talking about bedtimes for adults too. Finding the best time to put yourself to bed as a grown-up can be just as challenging as finding the right time to put your children to bed. So here's the question. Dear Malia, how do I know what time is appropriate for my child's bedtime each night? Is there a rule of thumb for bedtime that correlates with age? This is a great question. At least half of the sleep questions that I receive from parents involve a bedtime that's either too late or too early. And if your child isn't sleeping well, finding the right bedtime can make a world of difference and is a good place to start. Finding the right time to put your child to bed eliminates a lot of the sleep training. It eliminates the need for sleep training in many cases because it gets rid of a lot of the struggles that parents face around sleep. Kids taking forever to go to bed, lots and lots of crying at bedtime, toddlers continually popping up out of bed after being put down, and so on and so forth. Many of those things can just be eliminated once you find the right time that your child is primed to go to sleep quickly and easily without a fight. And that's kind of when you know that you have found the right bedtime, is when your child dozes off relatively easily. They're tired enough to go to sleep. They're not overtired. They're not wired. They're not overstimulated. You found the right time, and it is a wonderful thing indeed. And it's also really helpful information that kind of serves you well as your child grows. If you know about the time that your toddler needs to go to bed each night, and you found the right time for that toddler, as that child grows into a preschooler, a school-age child, a teenager, you'll be able to continually shift and adjust that time. You'll be more easily able to kind of bounce back from summer camps and vacations and illnesses and different things that are disrupting your family's routine. You'll be able to help your child get back on track because you'll just have a good idea of where they are in terms of their sleep, what they need. And the reason for that is that to find the right bedtime for your child, you need to have a good idea of how much sleep your individual child needs. And there can be a wide range. Babies and toddlers might need up to 16, 17 hours of sleep per night, but there are infants who might need as little as 12 to 13 hours of sleep per night. And I'm referring to older infants, 7, 8, 9 months of age, but there are certainly infants who need much, much less sleep than some of their peers. And those tend to be the kiddos who really, really struggle with sleep because their parents are trying to put them to bed too early, trying to force them to sleep more than they need because they have an idea of how much sleep children need that's based on a book or maybe their neighbor's baby or their sister's baby, and not their own individual child. So once you know how much sleep your child needs, you will be able to find the bedtime that's right for them, and you'll just have a useful piece of information to kind of add to your parenting toolkit. So Is there a rule of thumb for bedtime based on age? The answer is sort of. In general, babies and young toddlers often do best with a bedtime between 6 and 8, preschoolers and early elementary age children, many of whom still need around 10 hours of sleep tonight, seem to do well with a nightly bedtime between 7 and 9, but these are just guidelines. Again, you will want to learn how much sleep your child needs and create a bedtime that works for your child. And that might be 10 p.m. That might be 6 p.m. It really just depends on your child's sleep temperament. So to zero in on that time, you do a little of what I call bedtime math, and it is really pretty easy. So first, you just need to determine how much sleep your child needs in a 24-hour period. And the easiest way to do this is just keep track for a few days. You can use an app, you can use pencil and paper. I think that's often the easiest. Just grab whatever scrap of paper you have around, create 24 lines, or take a piece of lined paper and number it. So that you have 24 kind of rows going down the page, and then just draw a line through the times that your child is asleep. So that's the method that I use, because you don't have to write down the times. You don't have to look at your clock and say, okay, and it's 3:30. He woke up from his nap. I'm writing that down. You just scribble a line through the times that you know that your child is asleep. So don't count the times when your child is restless, they're crying, they're in and out of their bed, they are not actually sleeping. Count the times when you know that your child is asleep. So once you do that for a few days, you can get a good idea of how much sleep they are actually getting. And that might be more than you think. It might be less than you think. So once you have that number, then you kind of begin with the time that you want your child to wake up in the morning. This is actually something that I end up talking about quite a bit. When you're focusing on a bedtime, sometimes it's easy to forget that the wake-up time in the morning is actually what sets your body's clock for the day. And in a hyper-focus on bedtime, we can lose sight of the importance of the time that your child gets up in the morning. So really start there, and that's a good place to start any discussion around sleep and bedtime and timing and routine. Look at that time that your child wakes up in the morning, or the time that you would like your child to be awake in the morning. And then you just count and you kind of work it from there, so that your child is going to bed at a time that will allow for them to sleep enough and wake up at the time that you'd like them to be awake, or the time that they need to be awake in the morning. So what you're really determining is how many hours can your child comfortably stay awake in a day. And so if you determine that your child needs, or your child kind of reveals that they need, let's say, 14 hours of total sleep, including naps, in a 24-hour period, and then you would from there determine how much time your child can comfortably be awake in a day. So that's 10 hours. So then you would devise an wake time, nap times, and a bedtime that would allow your child to be awake for 10 hours a day. That morning wake up time would kind of start that clock. And then you would know as a parent that your child is not going to fall asleep at night until they've had those 10 hours awake. They just won't have enough of what sleep doctors call a drive for sleep, or a sleep drive. They won't have built up enough tiredness during the day to fall asleep well at night. So that clock starts when they get up in the morning, and it should be zeroing out at their bedtime. And that is some very simple bedtime math that will serve you really well as your child grows. For adults, we can also use a similar process to figure out when to put ourselves to bed. But there's first a few things to know about adults and bedtime. First, it's normal to take around 20 minutes or so to fall asleep. And it's good to know that, because we should make sure that we have realistic expectations around our own our own ability to fall asleep quickly at night. Falling asleep quickly for an adult does not necessarily mean you are out as soon as your head hits the pillow. And so it's good to have realistic expectations and not assume that you have a problem falling asleep if it takes you 15 minutes or 20 minutes to doze off. That's certainly not the case. And you can also learn a lot about your own body's circadian rhythm and your tendencies toward being a morning person or more of a night person, which can help inform when you decide that, you know, how you kind of create your daily routine and your sleep routine. And there's a book by Dr. Michael Bruce, who was a guest on this podcast on the first episode. His book is called The Power of When, and he also has a free quiz called Discover Your Chronotype that you can Google and take the quiz. It's very quick. That'll give you some information about your own body's biorhythm and your own tendencies toward, he doesn't call it morning or early bird or night owl. He has different terms that he uses, but it will tell you the best time, for you to do a lot of things, including go to sleep at night. So some of us are naturally inclined to wake up earlier in the morning. Others are naturally inclined to stay up later at night, but we all have responsibilities and things that we need to do. And sometimes we're not able to stay up as late as we want, sleep as late as we want. So I will say that although, you know, it is helpful to know that about yourself, you can also certainly devise a routine that works for you, even if in an ideal world, you would be able to stay up until 2 a.m. and sleep until 10 a.m. That might not be your reality. And you can certainly figure out a routine that serves you well, even if you do need to get up much, much earlier than your body clock would ideally like. So you can do that by, as I mentioned, employing a similar bedtime math than to what I just described, where you're journaling your sleep for a few days. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. A lot of sleep physicians and sleep coaches just recommend pencil and paper next to your bed. Figure out how much time you are actually sleeping. And from there, figure out the best time for you to be in bed and the best time to get up in the morning. And again, maintaining that that awareness of that wake-up time is important. A hyper-focus on bedtime without an awareness of the importance of the time that you're getting up in the morning is just, it's kind of short-sighted. So make sure that you're aware of the importance of getting up at the same time each day. And that's another piece is that that we've talked about on other episodes, the importance of consistency. So when we're talking about bedtime, it's very common for people to say, I'm going to go to bed early tonight because I need to get up early in the morning, or I'm going to try and make up some lost sleep. You know, I haven't been sleeping well. I'm going to try to go to bed super early tonight, like 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. I'm a runner, and it's really common to hear people say, well, I need to get up at 4 a.m. for this race, so I need to go to bed at 8 in order to get enough sleep. And then what happens is your body isn't ready to sleep at 8. You toss and turn. You get frustrated. You get anxious. And then that just makes it even harder to fall asleep even later in the night when you are really tired. And so it is better to go to sleep at the same time each night. Consistency is more important than trying to recover lost hours of sleep by going to bed too early. And in my episode, it's called Effortless Sleep with insomnia coach Martin Reed, he talks about this in more detail. Going to bed too early can be quite detrimental to your sleep. And so it is better to choose a time that you know that you'll be tired, that you know that you'll be tired enough to sleep, and to truly not allow yourself to go to bed until that time. So you are creating a window for sleep, at a time that you're reasonably sure that you'll be tired enough to sleep, to sleep, and doing the things during the day that you enjoy, getting enough movement, getting enough light, getting enough healthy nourishment, doing the things during the day that are going to set you up for success and for a good night's sleep without putting too much focus on it or stressing yourself out. And so I do recommend listening to that episode if you're interested in learning more about kind of optimizing your schedule and helping yourself sleep well without putting too much stress and energy into fixing your sleep. It's a good listen. So I hope that that's helpful. I describe this process in more detail in my book, Sleep Tight Every Night, Helping Toddlers and Preschoolers Sleep Well Without Tears, Tricks, or Tirades. I give a more in-depth description of this bedtime math and using it to find your child's best bedtime, and then how you can shift that bedtime as your child grows, as their sleep needs dial down over the years, and that you can have this piece of information in your pocket. And as I said, adding it to your parenting toolkit as a something that will be useful to you over the years. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this Ask Malia mini episode of Sleep Well, Stay Well. I hope it was helpful for you. You can find the podcast on social media at Sleep Well, Stay Well on Facebook and Instagram, and SWSW Podcast on Twitter. You can get in touch with me at malia@sleepwellstaywell.com, and you can find full episodes, show notes, more information about me, and my Ask Malia blog at my website, maliajacobson.com, or the podcast website, sleepwellstaywell.com. Next week, I'll have another Ask Malia mini episode, and then in September, I'll return with full-length episodes featuring some great experts. I can't wait. I hope that you enjoy your summer, what's left of it in the meantime, and enjoy some great times with your loved ones. Please sleep well and stay well. Bye-bye.
It's the Sleep Well, Stay Well podcast, now you know. Thanks for checking out the show.